had an opportunity to read several sermons this week, and I read three different sermons this week, all that came from the passages of Scripture that Adam led us in reading a moment ago. And about the third time that I was in that passage of Scripture, I said, "Lord, okay, I get it. I'm going to preach on that Sunday morning." I had another sermon that I had prepared for this morning that sort of went along with the holiday. But the Lord spoke to me through those sermons, and I want you to preach on this passage of Scripture. And I believe that this story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, even though my Bible says the parable in the headings of the rich man and Lazarus, I don't believe it was a parable. I believe it was a true story. I believe it was a story of two men who both died. One was rich, one was a beggar. And as Jesus told us about them, I believe that the rich man, when he died, went to hell, and the poor man, when he died, went to heaven. So I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, "What a Lost Man Discovers 60 Seconds After Death." What a lost man discovers 60 seconds after death. And it probably doesn't take them 60 seconds. They probably discover these things within seconds after they die. You know, there's some people that believe that after death, that the soul doesn't immediately go into eternity. Doesn't immediately go to heaven, doesn't immediately go to hell. I think they're wrong. I think the Bible teaches us that when this body dies, our soul goes to its eternal reward in heaven, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, or it goes to its eternal damnation. We read in this story that Jesus told, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. There wasn't any mention of any time in between, of any soul sleep or anything like that. And so that rich man, as do all lost people, if they leave this world without knowing Jesus as their Savior, they go immediately to hell. And when they get there, within seconds, and I'll say within 60 seconds for sake of my sermon this morning, there's some things that they discover. And I want to mention seven of those things this morning. You say, "Well, preacher, why would you preach a message like this today?" Well, first of all, because God told me. Okay? Second, and I know most of you here this morning are Christians, and I'm so glad of that. I'm glad that most of you are saved, know it, and are on your way to heaven. But there may be one or two people here that are not sure about that. There may be one or two people here that need to hear the gospel, need to get right with their God through Jesus Christ. And so I preach this sermon, "What a Lost Man Discovers 60 Seconds After He Dies," to reach out to them, to encourage them to get saved. And to all of you that are saved, I want you to rejoice this morning, because you're not going to endure anything that I talk about. You're going to avoid it. You're going to escape it, because you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. So I have seven things. Here we go. Number one, 60 seconds after a death, the lost man discovers that death does not end it all. A lot of people think that there is no life after death. There is no eternity. There is no afterlife. That when this body dies, that's it. It's over. They just cease to exist. And I would point to this story and many other references in the Bible that Jesus told us and that others told us, that what those people think is a lie straight from hell. You do not cease to exist when your body dies. There is an eternity. And both of these men, the rich man and the beggar, prove to us that when the life on this earth is over, life is not done. It goes on for all eternity. Now, the rich man in this story has wished for 2,000 years, almost, or maybe a little bit more than 2,000 years, that when he died, life was over. That was it. That he ceased to exist. But a few seconds after he died, a few seconds in hell, he realized that he had a never-dying soul. You know, sometimes when sinners get into trouble, Satan comes to him and he tempts him. And he says, now look, your life's a mess. Why don't you just end it all? Why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you just commit suicide and it will be all your problems will be over. And there's a lot of lost people that believe that, and they fall to that temptation. They commit suicide, and they find out just a few seconds after they died that suicide did not end at all, that they didn't know what trouble was until they got to a devil's hell. Don't you believe for a minute, if you're lost today, that your death is going to end all your problems. If you die without Jesus Christ, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's not a way out. Job asked the question in chapter 14, verse 14 of the book that bears his name. If a man die, shall he live again? And of course, the answer to that question is yes. A man has a never-dying soul. And in fact, the question is wrong. Man will never die. This body will die. But we will never die. We will live forever. And we will live forever in either heaven or hell. There is no in-between. There is no other alternative. When you leave this life and your body dies, you'll either go be with Jesus or you'll go be with Satan. One or the other. So a man, 60 seconds after he dies, discovers that death does not end at all. Number two, 60 seconds after death, a lost man discovers that God has a record of his sin. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There might be some here this morning that think that we can hide our sin from God. You can hide your sin from your preacher. You can hide your sin from your Sunday school teacher. You can hide it from your friends. You can hide it from your children. You can even hide some of your sins from your spouse. But I want to tell you something this morning. You cannot hide your sins from God. God knows what you do. He knows what you don't do. He knows what you think. And the sins that we commit in the secrecy of our mind, but we think nobody else knows about, are an open book unto God. That's why the Bible says in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Remember the story of Achan? He was at one of the soldiers in the Israeli army that fought at the Battle of Jericho. And Joshua had told all the soldiers, hey, this first city that we take, Jericho, all the spoils of it belong to God. Anything that you see, don't take. It all belongs to God. And Achan, the Bible says, saw a wedge of gold and some silver and a Babylonian garment. And when nobody was looking, when he thought he was free and clear of all eyes, he stole that gold and that silver and that garment. Bible says he buried it underneath his tent. And he thought that nobody had seen what he'd done. But God saw what he'd done. God saw him take the silver. God saw him take the gold. God saw him take the Babylonian garment. And they went to fight, the army went to fight against the next city, Ai. And after winning a wonderful, miraculous battle at Jericho, they lost at Ai. And Joshua didn't know what to do. And God said, Joshua didn't know what the problem was. And God said, hey, Joshua, I'll tell you what the problem is. There's sin in the camp. And until you get that sin out of the camp, you're not going to win another victory. And I don't have time to tell you the story this morning. But Achan paid for the sin that he thought nobody saw with the life and the life of his whole family as they stoned him, killing him, burying him in stone. Don't think for a minute that God doesn't see what you do. Don't think for a minute that he doesn't see what you don't do. Don't think for a minute that he doesn't know what you think. God knows our sins, and he's keeping track of them. And when a lost man dies, he will discover that he'll be accountable for those sins. Number three, 60 seconds after death, the lost man discovers that Satan has lied to him. John chapter 8, verse 44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's how the Bible describes Satan. He's a liar and the father of all liars. He's been a liar from the beginning. Satan lied in heaven, and some of the angels believed him, and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven along with Satan. He lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and she believed him, and she and Adam were cast out of the Garden of Eden because they believed the lie of Satan. Satan hadn't changed. He still lies today. And the purpose of his lies today are the same as the purpose of his lies in the past. He wants to separate people from their God. I mean, he separated the angels from their God with a lie. He separated the first people that God created from their God with a lie. And he lies to you today because he wants to separate you from your God. He lies when he says that you can get by with your sin. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Satan lies. He lies when he says that God loves you so much that he won't hold you accountable for your sin. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. God will hold us accountable for our sins. Satan is a liar. He lies when he says, don't get saved today. There'll be a more convenient time. There'll be an easier time for you to get saved. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day that your heart is the most tender toward the gospel. Today is the day that it's the easiest for you to get saved. You say no to Jesus today, and next week it'll be harder. And the week after that, it'll be harder. And the week after that, it'll be harder. No, Satan will tell you, oh, no, don't get saved today. It's a holiday. Why do you want to get saved today? Just wait. Don't wait. Because the Bible says today is the day. The Bible says Jesus is the truth. Why would you believe a liar? Number four, 60 seconds after death, the lost man discovers that there is literal fire in hell. The rich man said in Luke chapter 16, verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Many today say there's no fire in hell. Many today will say, oh, no, there's no, I mean, that's just a figment of somebody's imagination. That's just symbolism. There is no fire in hell. I want to tell you, that's another lie from the devil. There is literal, real, burning, hot fire in hell. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus was talking about hell. And three times in one chapter, verse 44, 46, and verse 48, Jesus, when he was talking about hell, said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know, the majority of pulpits today, from the majority of pulpits today, you won't hear a sermon like this. You won't hear a sermon about hell. You see, refined preachers don't preach about hell. cultured preachers don't preach about hell. Well, I don't have to tell you, you already know. Your preacher is not refined or cultured, because I will preach this book. And this book says that there is a hell, and it is a place of fire. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a bottomless pit of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the Bible says that it was prepared for Satan and all his demons. And I want to tell you something this morning. Every person that dies and have not asked Jesus to be their Savior, the moment they leave this world, are going to hell, to a place of literal fire, to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And so, with all my being and with all my intelligence, which I don't have much, but with all that I got, and with all my emotion, I say to you this morning, don't go to hell. Avoid it. Escape it. Don't take a chance at all of going out into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to stay out of hell. And the only way that you can stay out of hell is to come to Christ. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, to be separated from Him. If God's in heaven, there's only one place left for us to go, and that's to hell. But God did love us. And even though He will hold us accountable for our sins, He made a way that Jesus paid for our sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you haven't done it this morning, you need to do it. He died to pay for your sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. Number five, 60 seconds after death, the lost man discovers that he has missed the greatest thing offered to him in this life. He's missed the greatest thing offered to him in this life. The greatest thing that God offers to us is salvation from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. To live a lifetime and miss it is a tragedy beyond comprehension. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 26, the Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And men labor and they toil and they gather things together that they think are important and that are needful." And I'm not against things, but I am against gathering things and missing the most important thing of all, salvation in Jesus Christ. This verse says, go ahead, gain the whole world, but if you lost your soul, you profiteth nothing. Nothing. All the wealth this world has and all the possessions this world has, go ahead, pile them up, pile them on top of one another, and then compare them to an eternity. And your eternity is more important than all this world has to offer. The writer of Hebrews asked the question, and it's just a question that should grip every person here this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape other than the salvation of Jesus Christ. Number six, 60 seconds after death, the lost man discovers he still remembers. He still remembers. In verse 25, Abraham said to this rich man, "Son, remember? Remember how in your life you enjoyed the good things? Remember how Lazarus was a beggar and the dog licked his sores?" Lost people will discover in hell that their memory is part of the torment, because they will remember how many times they heard the gospel. that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. They will remember how many times they heard verses like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." They will remember how the Holy Spirit convicted them. That still small voice that tells us when we hear the gospel that, hey, that's true. It's true. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. You need Jesus. They'll remember the people that prayed for them to get saved. Maybe a dad, maybe a mom, a grandparent, a brother or sister, a cousin, a Sunday school teacher, a preacher. I want to tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there are people praying for you right now. They're praying that the Holy Spirit will convict you and woo you and have you come to the Savior this morning. You reject Christ. You go out into eternity unsaved. You go to hell. You'll remember May the 30th, 2010. You'll remember a message on hell. And you'll remember the people that prayed to keep your soul out of that place of torment. You'll remember. And then number 7, 60 seconds after death, the lost man discovers that all opportunities to be saved are gone forever. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 21, "If you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come." You see, God deals with the unsaved only as of this moment. There's no tomorrow in God's plan. No tomorrow. It's always now. Even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Come now! Now! And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Notice in the story that we read, the rich man asked for just a drop of water. He asked for somebody to go to his house and talk to his brothers. But he never one time asked for a second chance to be saved, because he knew there was no second chance. A lot of religions today say, "Oh, no, no, there is a second chance." But I tell you what, I read this book over and over and over and over again. I find not one verse that offers a second chance to a lost man that went to hell. Not one verse. Not one verse that even hints at it. Not one verse that somebody could misinterpret and say, "Well, there is a second chance." I can not find one verse. When a dead man goes to hell, he discovers there is no second chance. And so, with death sure and eternity long, why not seek the Lord today while he may be found? Why not call upon him while he is near? You see, unless the rapture comes, sooner or later, every single one of us are going to die. Our heart's going to stop beating. Our lungs are going to take their last breath. And we'll leave this earth. We'll go to one of two places. We'll go to heaven, if we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. Or we'll go to hell. And once we get to hell, we'll discover the same thing that this rich man discovered, and it will not take us very long. We'll know when we get there that hell is real, and it'll last for eternity. Again, I know most of you here are saved. You're on your way to heaven. I praise God for that. You rejoice this morning that you're going to miss all this stuff. But if there's just one here this morning that doesn't know for sure that heaven is your home because you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I want you to come. The Bible says, Jesus said this, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Will you trust him this morning? Will you trust him? I pray that you do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this warning from your book. And I pray if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to save them, that right now, right where they sat, they'll say, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me." And I pray, Father, that every person, if it's one or two or more than two, every person that's never done it will do it right now. And I pray in just a second when we stand, that they'll get up and come down this aisle and they'll tell us, "Hey, I came in here lost and on my way to hell, but I asked Jesus to save me, and I'm leaving saved on my way to heaven." I pray, Father, make it so. I pray you'll speak to Christians. If there's something that we need to do, I pray you'll make it clear to us and we'll be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.